facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Thank you, Daniel Craig, and welcome to The Weeknd on The Cale Clark Show. It is Friday. We're kicking off the weekend in style, and I can't wait to talk to you. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. And you know what? We got a great question for you off the top. Have you ever felt, in your efforts to share your faith, to share your Catholic faith with your friends, with your family, people around you, have you ever felt at times like you've lost, you maybe won the argument, but you might have lost a soul in the process? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever like just decimated somebody in a theological argument and really the person wasn't responsive to it? Has that ever happened to you? If you have a story to tell about that, let me know. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. You can also tweet at me. You can follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And we have a show account too that is run by producer Lucas at Cale Clark Show. And the email address is Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. So as you're calling in to tell me your stories about that, I first want to say thank you to everybody who gave to our Reach Out and Respond pledge drive, which is officially over, but it's still kind of happening. We won't be doing any pitch breaks on the show tonight, as we have been doing all week, because we have reached our target. We have set a target of 2.7 million to keep Relevant Radio on the air for another quarter of this year. That's how much it costs to run this place and all the various stations that we have. We have almost 200 radio stations, and it's not inexpensive to do this work, to reach the world for Christ through the media. And you guys have really stepped up to the plate, because at about 2 o'clock or so this afternoon, we blew past our target, and we have passed that now. We're at over 2.8 million now. So we can't thank you enough for your generosity and for your support of this life-changing radio. And as Father Rocky said earlier this afternoon, you know, God has really shown us that when we help others, God helps us even more, because you guys gave a lot more than usual this year, because 10% of everything that we're raising this week goes to Haiti, the relief efforts in Haiti. Very important. And there's a lot of suffering going on the ground in Haiti right now in the light of the earthquake that happened last weekend. So even though the pledge drive is over now, you can still give. If you'd like to get in on that and you haven't had a chance to yet, you can still go to relevantradio.com or through the app and give. And there's still 100% matching hour going on this hour and for the rest of the day as well. So you can still get your gift doubled when you give. But again, we have met our target, and we thank you for your generosity. And so this question that I asked off the top, about, you know, whether you feel like at times in your efforts to share your faith that you might have won an argument, but in a sense lost the war, maybe lost a soul in the process. Maybe the person really just didn't want to hear about the Catholic faith anymore. The reason why I was thinking about that was because I was reading an interesting post on a website called Loss and Gain. And if you're a fan of Cardinal Newman, you know that Loss and Gain was one of his writings. And really, this is a blog that's on the net. It's lossandgain.org. And it's written by a bunch of guys who used to be Anglican priests who are now Roman Catholics. They've converted to Catholicism. And so they're sharing about their experiences. And so Shay Gilliland, who was one of the ex-Anglican priests who's writing on this blog, Loss and Gain, he had a post a couple of days ago called "Don't Use Conversion as an Excuse to Sin." Don't use your conversion as an excuse to sin. What was he talking about there? Well, he really starts off with a couple of scripture verses, and one of them is from Matthew chapter 5, which says, "If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." And that's, of course, from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And then he has another quote from John chapter 17, verse 21. And that's, of course, from Jesus' high priestly prayer, if you will, before he went to his passion in John's gospel. It's a very short verse. that they all may be one. That they all may be one, even as you and I, Father, are one. And he sort of started off with those scripture verses because he talked about a different a conversation that he had with some Anglican friends who he had hurt. And he had hurt these guys through his words and through his actions after he had become Catholic. And again, this is Shea Gilliland, who's an ex-Anglican priest, writing on the blog Loss and Gain. So over 3 years ago, he left his ministry as an ordained Anglican priest, and he started talking about his Catholic faith, of course. He's very excited about it, coming into the church, the true church. He's home in the Catholic Church. But he says, you know what? Unfortunately, when I came home to Catholicism, I started using my new Catholic faith almost as a weapon against my old friends who were still Protestants. And here's what he writes, and I quote, he says, when I finally made the decision to renounce my Anglican orders, my feelings of excitement about my Catholic future were mixed with suppressed feelings of anger and resentment over my Protestant past. When I announced my decision to leave the Anglican parish that I served, I wrote in my farewell letter to the congregation that I was leaving with feelings of gratitude towards Anglicanism for introducing me to a deeper and more ancient form of Christianity than I had previously known as a free church evangelical, end of quote. So obviously Shea Gilliland, before he became an Anglican, and very often in the United States, Anglicans are also known as Episcopalians. So if you're unfamiliar with the term Anglican, you might be familiar with the Episcopalian church. So at any rate, he was I guess, a generic evangelical of some sort before becoming Episcopalian or Anglican. And obviously, the Anglican church has more of a liturgy, and I use the word church loosely. Let's say the Anglican communion, that's probably a better term. They have a liturgy that's very much, especially a high church Anglican would have a liturgy that it's very similar to our Catholic liturgy. And so he said that this really gave him a hunger for a sacramental spirituality. Not that they have all valid sacraments in the Anglican church, not by any stretch, but by being an Anglican, Shea kind of learned about the church fathers. He started getting into this. He started getting into the history of the church. And one of the things that happened to him when he came into the Catholic Church is that he harbored this, as he says, a secret anger towards his Anglican past, because he felt like he was lied to by his quote-unquote Anglo-Catholic mentors. Now, when we say Anglo-Catholic, we don't mean that these guys were Roman Catholic. It just be Anglo-Catholicism is kind of a part of the Anglican Church that basically adheres to something called the branch theory. The three-branch theory, to be exact. And so there's a number of people out there who say that Christianity in general is like a tree, like a great oak tree, and there are three branches that stem off of the trunk of the tree: Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, and Anglicanism. And under this three-branch theory, all are presented as true churches, which can trace their roots back to antiquity. And each of these three branches have an equal claim to being apostolic, to being the church that Jesus founded. So that's the three-branch theory. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but it's very common to hear this among Anglicans. So this is what Shea Gilliland was taught when he became an Anglican. And eventually he went to an Anglican seminary, got himself ordained as an Anglican priest. And eventually now he has found his way home into the Catholic Church, and he's one of the guys, the ex-Anglican priest, who writes at the blog Loss and Gain. So here's what he says about this. He says, quote, I had suppressed frustration over feeling lied to about the nature of the via media, and that's the quote-unquote middle way that the Anglo-Catholic mentors presented to me, and I had been tricked into believing Anglicanism was truly Catholic. I was angry that key differences between the teaching of sacred tradition and the English Reformation over issues like the papacy, transubstantiation, and all sorts of other things had been glossed over in my seminary courses. The now long debunked three-branch theory, which I just explained to you guys, that was presented to me as being true. That was presented to me as being fact, he writes. I was angry that I dragged my wife through 3 years of seminary, moving across the country, taking on tens of thousands of dollars of student debt for my Master of Divinity degree, just to find out that the church I was giving my life to in ministry was not, in fact, in coherence with this picture that I had at the beginning, this three-branch theory. So he was able to find out, hang on here, this is actually not historical. And he eventually converts to Catholicism. And here's what he says. He says, to his deep regret, when he finally converted, he was very angry about this, and he actually transferred this anger towards Protestantism in general, and also actual particular Protestants, actual real people. And he was very harsh towards Protestants online and in person. And he started really venting. And he really said, you know, at the end of the day, this is a Catholic triumphalism. It was a triumphalism which cloaks itself, he says, in apologetics and evangelization. But in reality, it's often an excuse to be ugly and spiteful towards those Christians who aren't Catholic. He says, dunking on Protestants, especially Anglicans online, and engaging in Catholic Twitter wars with other Christians became a way for me to deal with my own frustration with my past, while convincing myself that what I was actually doing was pointing out contradictions, the insufficiencies of Protestantism, and I was actually attracting people to Catholicism. But I think he realizes, you know what, that probably wasn't happening at all. I probably wasn't attracting anybody to the Catholic faith by the way I was acting. So he goes on to say that this is not the way that our Lord asks Christians to treat one another, and a mocking triumphalist spirit does little for the Christian unity that Jesus prayed for in St. John's Gospel when he prayed that they might be one. He says, when I finally owed up to my bad behavior and I apologized to my Protestant friends, I realized that not only had I failed them as a friend, but I also failed the Catholic Church by misrepresenting it to others as a place of arrogance, rather than, as Pope Francis likes to say, a field hospital whose mission is to heal the wounds of the heart, to open doors, to free people, to say that God is good, God forgives all, God is the Father, God is affectionate, God always waits for us. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Have you ever, you know, maybe intentionally or unintentionally, alienated somebody from the Catholic faith by the way that you were arguing for the faith, by the way that you were maybe explaining your own conversion to the Catholic Church, by the way you were trying to explain and defend the teachings of Holy Mother Church? Maybe you inadvertently turned somebody off. Maybe you won the argument, but you might have lost the soul, at least temporarily. You know, it's never over, but if that's happened to you too, I want to hear about this. How'd you deal with it? 1-888-914-9149 is the number for the Cale Clark Show. And if you're on the line right now, we'll get to you in just a second. I just want to finish up this story here. And again, this is Shay Gilliland, who's a former Anglican priest who is writing on the blog, which is written by a bunch of ex-Anglican priests who are all now Catholic. And the blog is called Loss and Gain. They're really devoted to the convert, St. John Henry Newman, who converted from Anglicanism. And so he says, basically, look, if you do convert to Catholicism, I encourage you to come home. But once you're here, don't do what I did. Don't lord it over your friends. Don't profane the church by using it as a weapon to hurt others. And St. John Henry Newman himself, St. John Henry Newman himself said these words, quote, I have lost friends. I have lost the world. I've lost the world. That's incredible. He was probably the most famous Protestant in the world when he converted to Catholicism. I've lost friends. I have lost the world, but I've gained him who gives in himself houses and brethren 100-fold. So Shay Gilliland says, don't allow any of your friends to be lost because of your failure to love them well. Be charitable to those whom God is still waiting for, just as he is charitable in his patience with all of us, recognizing that while our Lord wishes all to be united in the Catholic faith, in the one church that he founded, he's also an affectionate God who waits for us. And I think it's an important point because, look, if people find the truth offensive, if people find the Catholic doctrine offensive, that's one thing. But if they find you personally offensive because of the way that you're presenting it, that's another thing entirely. So this is something that we can work on. We can't water down the teaching of the church by any stretch of the imagination, but the way that we present that has to be in a winsome manner. We're going to go to the phones right now. We're going to go to Shannon, who is calling from Utah. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to the show.
I had just that kind of a situation.
Yeah?
I really still feel very badly about it. The Lord puts me in positions often, several times a week, where I talk about God who is loving, forgiving, and my questioning the existence of God for 2 years, and now knowing him as a personal Lord and Savior, I'm talking with a man who's left the faith and become Mormon. Mm-hmm. Things are going along great. And then out of my mouth, alien to what I'm thinking, comes a negative comment about Joseph Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So immediately his response was, oh, now you're going to attack the founder, and turned around and left. I still feel badly about that.
Mm. Yeah, certainly in Utah, they're obviously, it's Mormon country. A lot of Mormons live there. And yeah, what you're saying, I'm not sure what you were going to say about Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, may in fact have been true. But obviously, he's a hero to Mormons. And so, yeah, that turned that guy off. And you regret that. And you know what? You didn't necessarily know that was going to happen. I mean, it's not like you pre-planned it. So we have to be graceful with ourselves, too, in these instances as well, and cut ourselves a little bit of slack. Because sometimes we don't know how, like, something that might be an innocuous comment to us may be received in a different way by somebody else. In other words, we're not trying to offend. We're not trying to offend. And I think what this guy was saying in this blog post was that he actually was being offensive, and he kind of knew it deep down, because he was angry. He was angry about how he had been lied to, and he was kind of taking out his frustration on fellow Protestants or sort of ex-Protestants, like people he used to know, and also online, people that he didn't know personally. And so in all likelihood, Shannon, you weren't trying to do that. You weren't, coming from a place of anger. So I think our motives, our heart really matters when we do this as well. And that's crucial. So be graceful with yourself too, is my point.
That I have to forgive myself. And I pray that God sent a Saint Jerome into his life to bring this man back into the faith.
Well, there you go. Oftentimes in these conversations, we're planting seeds. St. Paul talked about that. He said, hey, I planted the seed. Apollos, this other preacher, came in. He watered it, but God makes it grow. And so there's somebody else in the chain, hopefully, that will encounter this guy, and maybe he'll do some, and maybe he thought about what you said later on, said, I was maybe defensive about that, but maybe she was right. Maybe I need to look into this. Who knows? So just pray for that guy and, entrust him to God.
Cut myself some slack.
And cut yourself some slack, too. We have to forgive ourselves as well. That is true. We can often beat ourselves up over things that we've said and done, but it really does no good. It really does no good. As long as we've learned the lesson and we've moved
right,
on,
exactly.
That's it. So keep up your efforts, Shannon. And thanks for calling in and telling us that story.
That when the Lord burns within your heart to speak of his goodness, his compassion, his mercy, his forgiveness, you have to speak of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, and St. Paul said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. hey, I'm not doing this because I do want to do it, he said, but, I have to do it. This is the Lord has laid this upon me, and we should be so excited about it that we want to tell people about Christ and about the church, and it shouldn't be something that, is something that we're embarrassed about, or, it should be very natural.
Oh, no.
It should be very natural.
If I can give encouragement to anyone out there who is moved by the Spirit to speak, rejoice when you're persecuted. When I get persecuted, I'm thrilled, because that means I'm blessed by God.
Mm. Yeah. And that does happen. And as long as the persecution, again, is not coming because we have been personally offensive. If the gospel offends people, that's one thing. Jesus himself, look what happened to him, right? So we can't expect a bouquet of roses necessarily for preaching the gospel. There will be some opposition. But as long as people aren't turned off by our mannerisms and our, as long as we're coming from a good place as we preach, that's what's key here, I think. So Shannon, I really do appreciate that call. That's a great story. And that was Shannon calling from Utah, listening to the program. We're going to go to now Dee Dee, who's calling from Phoenix.
Hello.
Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi,
Welcome to the
Mr.
program.
Clark.
Hi.
30 years ago, I grew up in California. I took a class on linguistics, and it was about the very, very famous, I don't know if he's still alive, Marshall McLuhan. And I think he was from Canada.
He
He's a
is.
Canadian.
Yeah, he is a Canadian. He has passed away, but yep. Yeah, very famous. There's actually a high school named after him in the city where I live in Toronto.
Oh, really? But I've never forgotten this as a freshman. He always used to say, when I say he, meaning his textbooks or his theory in philosophy, the medium is the message. We aren't the medium.
Yeah, that's a
The
great
medium
point.
is the message. And just look at what's happening technologically. On TV and what do you know I'm saying? So if the medium is the message, meaning we are the conveyors of the message, and we have to be Christ-like. Not I'm you know I'm not saying being an apologist is wrong. I'm just saying that people just look at how we act and what we do.
Yeah, that is a really good point. And yeah, so Marshall McLuhan, he was talking a lot about media and about how the message is in some ways conditioned by the medium that it comes across, whether it's television, radio, print, it affects the message. But I love how you applied it to us as Catholics. That's so important. The medium is the message. We are the medium in a certain sense because, as St. Paul says, you've really got to be, you are living epistles. I write these letters to all these various churches, but you are a letter from Christ to other people. And that's, whew. Well, actually, we should probably not be the letter. As St. Jose Maria said, you're really the envelope. Christ is the message, right? So we're the envelope,
Oh,
but
absolutely.
so maybe that's a
Absolutely.
better way to look at it. But having said that, no, it's
You
so
know,
true.
I love the way you just translated it.
Well, I think what you said was quite right. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. We have to take a break in just a second, Dee Dee. But I will talk about this on the other side of the break because the medium is the message, and this is part of why people either accept or reject Catholic truth. It's because of us. Not to put too much pressure on us, but there is a lot more going on here than just the gospel message itself. It's also the messenger that comes into play as well, and it's also the recipient of the message, how they read it, where they're coming from, what's going on in their life. We're going to talk about all that on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Thank you very much for that call, Dee Dee. Thanks for listening. If you want to call in, 888-914-9149. Having a great discussion right now on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Be right back.
Explaining the Catholic faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's the Cale Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
Hey, welcome back to the show on this Friday. And once again, we really want to thank everybody for making our pledge drive such a success. Our Reach Out and Respond August pledge drive, we passed our goal. Thank you for your generosity. If you still want to get in on the giving, you can do so by going to the Relevant Radio app, relevantradio.com, or calling 1-877-291-9149. 0123. Not to be confused with our listener line, if you want to call in and talk to me, but this is the Pledge Drive line, and operators are standing by, 877-291-0123. And we have a 100% matching promise that's still happening, our partnership challenge this hour. Anything that you give will be doubled. That's a pretty good deal. So we did meet our targets, and once again, thank you so much. And whew, during that break, I ran up and down the stairs, and I am so out of shape. I really, that's why I can barely speak. So, whew, wow. Anyways, we were talking before the break about times when we may have, you know, maybe turned people off from the faith, from the way that we were sharing it. Maybe we won the argument, but maybe lost a soul in the process, or maybe turned somebody off from the faith. And we were talking about a story which was on the Loss and Gain blog by a former Anglican priest who's now Catholic. His name was Shea Gilliland. And he talked about how he used to dunk on people on Twitter and online and even in person with a kind of a Catholic triumphalism. And he said, you know, I really turned a lot of people off from the faith. And so has that ever happened to you? Let me know. You can call in right now. 1-888-914-9149. I'm going to go to the phones right now. Jose is calling from South Texas. Hello, Jose.
Hey, Kel.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Great. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for receiving me. So this didn't happen to me. It happened to my friend. I was the middleman, I guess.
Okay.
So, you know, we're good. On her hand, right? On her wrist. And I asked her, she was Catholic, and she said yes. And this happened to be on an Ash Wednesday. So where I work, we have the bishop goes and gives a mass at one of the college auditoriums we have. And I asked her, she was Catholic.
Oh, Jose, unfortunately, I think we've lost the connection there. Sounds like you're driving. Why don't you call back, maybe hang up and call back, 888-914-9149. We'll try to get you on. And one of the things I wanted to mention about this was that, you know, people are very complex. And I this is a true story. There's a guy who named John Stackhouse Jr., who wrote a book a few years ago. He's actually Canadian as well. He wrote a book called Humble Apologetics. Humble apologetics, and very often apologetics is not very humble. Now, this, you know, he's a Protestant, but there are obviously a lot of Protestant apologetics figures out there, and some of them are quite well known. And in the introduction to his book, he talked about a famous Protestant apologist. I don't know who he is because he never said who he is, but I have an idea of who it might be. I'm not going to guess. And this famous Protestant apologist spoke on a college campus, and he was kind of answering questions about the faith, and there were a lot of skeptics in the crowd, a lot of university students. And during the Q&A session, he easily dismissed all of the questions, all the queries that he got, but he kind of did so in a bit of an arrogant way, in a bit of a triumphalistic way. And there was a student who, walking out of the presentation, you know, the Christian friend that brought this person asked the student, "Hey, what'd you think of the presentation?" And this guy said, "I don't care if the SOB is right." I'm not going to spell out what that means, but you know what I mean. "I don't care if the SOB is right. I still hate his guts. I still hate his guts." And that was a real slap in the face to this Christian friend who had invited his secular buddy to come to this talk by this apologist. And so he basically admitted the guy was right, but "I'm not buying into this. I'm not buying into this," because of the way it was presented, the way it was presented. And so I think that's true of a lot of people in today's society when it comes to apologetics. Arguments alone are not going to win people over. They're important, but it's not everything. And in today's gospel, in fact, Jesus talked about this. He talked about the fact that we have to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you know what, like, this is, if we can get all these things in line, that's great. If we can get our heart on line with God, our minds, our soul, and our strength, and by strength, of course, that means our physical, or, you know, everything, you know, all of our efforts, including our body, including our sexuality, our strength. We have to love God with everything we've got. Our heart, you know, our desires, if our desire is for God, if our mind is submitted to God's wisdom, the intellect, heart, mind, soul, and strength. Yeah, well, with most people, at least one of those things is offline when it comes to God. One of the reasons, I always say that, you know, people don't not become Catholic because they can't buy into the Trinity. You know, it's usually, oh, I just can't believe in the hypostatic union of the, you know, of the human and divine natures of Christ. You know, I just can't buy into that. No, it's not usually a theological question. Very often it's a moral question. It's the way they're living their life. It's something that they're into. Sometimes it's a pure intellectual thing, but it's pretty rare because we're not pure intellects. There's a lot of things going on within us. There are emotions. There are past experiences that affect us. Some hurts that we might have experienced, maybe at the hands of members of the church. There's certainly been a lot of that, unfortunately, recently. Those are not exactly motives of credibility for the gospel. So there's all kinds of stuff going on here with people. So a pure rational argument alone is not going to cut it. Is not going to cut it. And in fact, very recently on the program, we had Dr. Michael Ward. Dr. Michael Ward, who wrote the book After Humanity, he's actually Father Michael Ward, too. He's a convert from Anglicanism. He's a former Anglican priest. And he wrote this book called After Humanity. And it's really about a book by C.S. Lewis called The Abolition of Man. It's an incredible book. And we had an amazing interview with Michael Ward. You're going to want to check that out, Father Michael Ward and I in conversation. Maybe producer Lucas, you can put a link to this in the show notes. It was on a recent episode of the Cale Clark Show. Lots to learn from him and from his book. But in recent years, there have been a lot of people writing about C.S. Lewis and his apologetics. But this is actually not a new thing. Back in the year 1965, there was a compilation of essays that came out about the apologetics of C.S. Lewis. And one of the essays in that book was from the Anglican scholar Austin Farrer. He was an Anglican priest and also a biblical scholar. And he wrote a chapter in a book that was called Light on C.S. Lewis, which came out, again, in 1965. So he wrote a chapter called The Christian Apologist. He talked about Lewis's apologetics, especially his book, The Problem of Pain. The Problem of Pain. And so what this guy, Austin Farrer, said is this. In this article that he wrote, he said, "It is commonly said that if rational argument is so seldom the cause of conviction, then philosophical apologists must largely be wasting their shot." End of quote. So he's basically saying, okay, people say the folks aren't convicted, folks aren't convinced by rational arguments anymore. It just doesn't happen. So we're kind of wasting our time trying to convince people with reasons, doing apologetics in the classical sense, you know, giving the evidences for our faith. Are we wasting our time here? Well, not really, not really. He goes on to challenge this idea, Austin Farrer. He says, the premise is true, but the conclusion does not follow. Yeah, it is true that people, not too many people, are convinced by rational argument alone, but that doesn't mean that we're wasting our time trying to convince people of the evidences for our faith. That doesn't mean it's a waste of time, because although argument alone, he says, does not create conviction, the lack of argument destroys belief. Rational argument does not create belief, but it maintains a climate in which belief may flourish, end of quote. So in other words, having good arguments for our faith is kind of a baseline. We need to have that. We absolutely need to have that. But there's more going on here than just argument alone. It's the way that we present it. And this is what one of our callers said earlier, the medium is the message. This is a quote from Marshall McLuhan. And I think it's true when it comes to us, the medium is the message. The way that we present it, are we living it out in our own life? People can sense these things. They especially young people, I find, they can really smell a fraud a mile away. Even if they don't understand the faith, they know when somebody's not living it. That sometimes happens. So if you have a take on this, you can call in 1-888 914-914-9149. It's toll-free line for the Cale Clark Show. You can also tweet at me at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, on Twitter. And this actually, something like this happened on our program recently. It was kind of a miracle moment. We've heard of a lot of miracle moments that have happened because of Relevant Radio during this Pledge Drive week. Lots of little audio clips. We played them. Amazing things that God has done through our network. And you know what? We had a caller who called in a few weeks ago. You might remember this. Her name was Jenny. And our other callers called in to support her. And this was a great example of the medium being the message, not just the medium of radio, but souls, actual souls helping other souls on the journey. You got to check out this audio clip. Listen to this. We're going to go now to Jenny, who's calling from California. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I just happened to be hearing your show right now. I was sexually molested by 3 different individuals, so everything has been on my shoulders, and it's a cross I'm carrying. Now, I heard you say that God has a plan for everybody. What plan do I play in this life that without me choosing to have these things done to me?
First of all, I'm so sorry to hear that that happened to you. And I'm going to ask everybody who's listening all across America, all around the world on Relevant Radio right now to pray for you. You're not alone. And God's heart was shattered, broken at what happened to you, just as much as yours is, and even more, because God's love for us is infinite. And you say, well, how can God allow this to happen to me? We don't have a God who's unfamiliar with suffering. God allowed his own son to be tortured and to suffer and to die an absolutely incredibly brutal and violent death. You can only come to a place of forgiveness and healing with his help. You can't do it alone. You can't force yourself to be able to be okay.
I began to pray for Jenny as soon as I started sharing, or she started sharing her experience. And I looked at my phone and I said, I want to call in to see if I can be an instrument. But my phone was about to die. But I stopped at the gas station to buy a charger and asked God to allow me to get through and be able to share my experience that might help her. I was also molested. I'm almost 58 years old now, and this happened to me from when I was 5 years old till 19 years old by my father. I want to tell Jenny that she was made in a special way and brought to this earth for a reason, and it's a big mystery, like you said, why, you know, God allows this. But 25 years ago, I experienced God's love, his forgiveness, and I also asked him to help me forgive myself. When I allowed Jesus into my life, I experienced really his presence, and that's when I said, Lord, help me to forgive my father. But ever since that moment, when I experienced his love and his forgiveness, I started serving the Lord through music. I'm full-time in ministry now for 25 years, sharing my testimony, witnessing of what God has done in my life so that he can help others through me.
I'm so thankful that you called in. And you went through a lot to make this phone call, buying a charger just so you could charge up your phone to make this call. So, and I'm so glad that you did. And I hope that Jenny, if you're still out there, I hope you're still listening.
Divine Mercy Chaplet.
The divine
and
mercy.
Forgiveness are the two things you have to. Divine Mercy Chaplet for so many things. I've lived in unforgiveness for decades, and it hurts, and it takes a long time. But you have to find it, and I've found it through Divine Mercy Chaplet, and I can do it with Relevant Radio every day.
We're going to special phone call here. We got to go really quick. We're going to go to Jenny calling from California. Hi, Jenny. You called in yesterday.
Hi, Cale. Thank you for taking my call once again. I just wanted you to know and the listeners to know that I did keep on listening as I was driving. I took the long way home because I just kept on crying because I was feeling the overwhelming support and empathy that you and your listeners had for me. All of you guys really helped me understand that God does have a plan for me, and it's a gift that even though it comes from a tremendous pain, it's a gift that can help others heal.
That was a real miracle moment, an honest-to-goodness miracle moment here on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. That was just amazing. And thanks for that audio producer, Lucas, that so many people called in to support Jenny that day. It was overwhelming. They were praying for her. And I asked all the millions of listeners listening all around the world at that time to pray for her. And after she called in, now she had called in really at the end of the program the next day. And Jenny, maybe you're listening now, and I'm so thankful that you called back, because that was encouraging to us to know that it made a difference in your life. And one of the things that Jenny told me off air was that she literally felt like a gigantic cross had been lifted off of her back. And she knew that was because all of those people were praying for her. She could sense it. She could feel it. So that's amazing. And these are ways that we can really support one another and be great witnesses of the gospel to one another. Great mentors, really, in faith to one another as well. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free number to call. And you know what? We really do offer a place where people can find support and find growth and learn about the faith too in so many ways. And so we really need that. We need brothers and sisters in the faith to support us. We also need fathers and mothers. That's why we, you know, call nuns mother, and we call our priests father, because they play that role in our lives sometimes of guidance. And we need really mentors in all areas of our lives. And I know that's true. And we have to live these holistic lives as Catholics, and it encompasses our belief. It also encompasses everything that we do every day. And so I know a lot of people out there are really hungry for mentorship. They're really hungry for mentorship in a lot of different areas. And so I read a cool piece about this too this week, which I thought I'd share with you. How can you find a mentor? If you want to find somebody who will help you grow in different areas of your life, how do you do that? How do you go about doing that? It's tough. It's tough to find somebody to mentor you because people are busy. people have a lot going on. People have their own lives. And very often we have to change our approach on this. Michael Hyatt wrote a piece about how to find a mentor in kind of a unique way. When most people talk about finding a mentor in life, whether it's in the spiritual life or in some other aspect, maybe in your professional life, let's say you're a writer and you want to become a better writer, you might look for a relationship, a mentoring relationship with somebody who's a great writer. And I'm actually reading I heard a great podcast about this the other day. I'm reading this book. As you know me, I'm a big sports nut. I'm reading this book on Giannis, who's the MVP of the NBA Finals. He's been the MVP of the league before in the National Basketball Association. Milwaukee Bucks, NBA champions this year. Well, this biography about Giannis just came out, and it's written by a gal named Miren Fader. She's a sports writer, a young sports writer. And it's now the number 3 best-selling book, nonfiction, on the New York Times bestseller list. So congratulations, Miren. And I heard a podcast where she's speaking with another author named Jeff Perlman. And Jeff Perlman's written a lot of sports books, one on the Lakers. He's got one coming up on Bo Jackson. He's a very established writer. And she reached out to him when she was kind of young, a cub reporter, if you will. And he actually talked to her and mentored her. And now she's got a New York Times bestseller. So that's a cool story. And people are looking for mentors in different areas of their lives. And very often they mean something like this. They're looking for a one-on-one type coaching relationship with somebody who's a little bit more seasoned in whatever area you want to grow in. And this is a very biblical thing too, by the way. In Proverbs 27 verse 17, it says, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so one person can sharpen another. And it's true. This is why part of the reason why God gives us the church, the communion of saints, to kind of sharpen one another. The Bible also says, surround yourself with good advisors and you will succeed. So how do you do that? You could find maybe a formal relationship like this or an informal relationship. But let's face it, it's tough to find good mentors. And Michael Hyatt says there's a few different ways you can approach this. Maybe you're doing it the wrong way. If you want a mentor, broaden your definition of what that might mean so you don't get stuck waiting for something that might never happen. So let's say you want to you know, become a better investor, you're probably not going to get Warren Buffett on the phone to mentor you personally. But there is a way you can get his information and, in a sense, be mentored by him indirectly. So there's really seven levels of mentoring we can look at. Number one, people have blogs, people have personal websites and podcasts very often. Just like we turn this show into a podcast right after the show, about an hour after the show, it's available along with the Faith Explained program and any other program that's produced daily on Relevant Radio. They become podcasts on the Relevant Radio app, and you can get them wherever you get your podcasts. Well, that's an awesome resource, because that means if you miss the show live, you're not out of luck. And there's so many experts out there. If you want to learn about marketing, maybe you've dreamed of being mentored by Seth Godin. Well, guess what? He's got a podcast and he's got a blog and he's churning out all kinds of content for free. And very often we don't take advantage of this, but we should, because a lot of people are putting their wisdom out there on the table and they're making it free of charge, available to anyone and everyone who's interested in it. Well, what about books? We often don't think about this, but when somebody writes a book, they're basically putting their very best thinking on a given topic out there. And, you know, most books are pretty reasonably priced these days. You can get ebooks for pretty cheap. You know, obviously when something first comes out hardcover, it's going to be a little bit more expensive, but there's often paperback editions for less than $20. You can get somebody's very best thinking on a specific topic, whatever you're interested in. And really, never before in human history has there been so much knowledge out there available to so many people at any time. And if you can't afford the book, you can go to your public library. Chances are they have it or they can order it for you. What about online courses? That's kind of taking it to the next level. And Michael Hyatt says, hey, I've taken online courses with guys like David Allen. He's the creator of the Getting Things Done method of productivity. I don't know if you've heard of that, the GTD methodology. Some people criticize it, some people love it. He's like, listen, I read David Allen's book, Getting Things Done, and that was one thing. But then I signed up for his online course, and guess what? That's the next level up, because it's more in-depth than simply reading a book, number one. And number two, because I'm actually having to pay for this course online, it's more likely that I'll actually be able to transform my behavior. Why? Because you're making a huge investment. Well, and sometimes it's not that huge, but anything you have to pay for, you're probably going to show up for, right? Because you're just more invested. Conferences, that's another indirect way to get mentoring. And, you know, I used to do a lot of conference speaking, and I'm hoping to do so again now that COVID is, you know, hopefully dying down, but the Delta variant is rearing its ugly head. And during the pandemic, I mean, my speaking went from frequent to nothing because of the pandemic, but I love speaking at conferences, Catholic conferences about the faith. That's how I first met Patrick Madrid. Patrick Madrid spoke at my annual conference a few years ago in 2016. And so that was kind of the beginning of our friendship. And very often when you go to these conferences, you get to meet the speakers in person and kind of hang out with them. And that's an indirect way to get mentoring. One of the things I love to do, and I'm hoping to do so again in the future, is take people on pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I love taking groups on pilgrimages because you get to kind of grow together as a group. And I just love helping people experience the land where Jesus lived and walked and did miracles and just watch people's faith come alive. And we get to kind of become a family over those few days on pilgrimage. It's so much fun. So conferences and things like that can be great places to meet people. Mastermind groups, that's been kind of all the rage over the last few years. This idea of getting together with a few different people of like mind and kind of sharpening each other. You know, Benjamin Franklin used to do this, you know. He was one of the first people to start this. He started a club called the Leather Apron Club. I don't know whether he had to wear a leather apron. In 1727 in Philadelphia, Benjamin Franklin started this. And he got together with a bunch of other guys. And they debated morality, politics, philosophy, exchanged knowledge about business. It was kind of an iron sharpening iron type of situation. So that's kind of cool. In the spiritual life, of course, spiritual directors. And we have the Inner Life program here on Relevant Radio. And sometimes people call in to ask questions of our spiritual directors. And that's really important. But what's even better is to get your own spiritual director, too. Let that be simply an entree to the main course. So I recommend that you do that, if at all possible. But we do have the Inner Life. So if you don't have access to that, you can always call the Inner Life or email the program, hosted by Josh Raymond. So, and then of course these mentors, you know, and that's the ultimate, to try to get this one-on-one relationship with a mentor. Again, it's not always possible, but we can take advantage of some of these other little opportunities to get mentoring through books, through the internet, through courses, through conferences. There's so many things that we can do. So it's just kind of a good idea. If you want to grow in your life, mentoring is important, but there are lots of ways to soak up the wisdom of others. We can do what we can do now, even if it's a little thing, to learn and grow. Jesus said, whoever is faithful in little is also faithful in much. And sometimes if we take advantage of the little opportunities that God gives us, sometimes he opens us a door to learn even more. Well, guess what? We've come through an incredible week during this pledge drive. Really want to thank you for your generosity. You really reached out and responded. And you can still do that by going to relevantradio.com through the app or calling 877-291-0123. Anything you give is 100% match today. And once again, thank you for helping us meet our target. Here's the week that was on the Cale Clark Show, produced by Lucas Holt. Baptism is a once-for-all sacrament. It's unrepeatable. The Catechism says that baptism places an indelible mark on your soul.
Hey, Cale. I love your show and love Relevant Radio. I'm a monthly contributor and
awesome.
Hope the fun drive.
A huge hoax. Talk about fake news. This is one of the worst things that I've ever heard in years. The article was saying that archaeologists have actually found the original Trojan horse.
It's a very intriguing question on your part. I've never heard of this kind of question.
You know, money itself is neutral. The Bible is often misquoted, by the way, on this, Christopher. A lot of people think that the Bible says money is the root of all evil. It doesn't actually say that. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And that is certainly the case. It can certainly lead to all kinds of terrible choices being made. And really, it reveals, in a lot of ways, people's character.
There's a phrase that James Bond says, tempus fugit, you know, time flies.
Time flies, and memento mori, remember your death. It's so true. And by the way, James Bond has kind of a little quote as well on that. His family crest, the Bond family crest, is the world is not enough. And of course, that was a title of a Bond movie. And really, as Catholics, we have to say that. The world is not enough. We're looking for something else. We're looking for the next world as our inheritance, eternity. Pope Francis himself has weighed in on this. He spoke about AI at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, back in 2018. And here's what he said. Artificial intelligence, robotics, and other technological innovations must be so employed that they contribute to the service of humanity and to the protection of our common home, rather than to the contrary, as some assessments unfortunately foresee, end of quote. So do they contribute? Do these technological innovations contribute to the service of humanity, or do they make us somewhat less human? I promised you that Michaela would come on, my daughter Michaela, who's 5 years old.
What did one DNA say to the other DNA?
What did one DNA say to the other DNA?
Did these genes look good on me?
I like that one. Well, the priest saw this happening. He saw this transaction taking place, and he came up quickly with a plan. God inspired him. When he learned that this transaction was going to take place, he risked his life to save this boy. In fact, he went a week without shaving. He just made himself look, you know, pretty terrible here. Rented a truck, and he dressed in kind of grubby clothes, and he himself posed as a human trafficker himself to save this 14-year-old boy.
There's a stigma about men crying.
So many things that we kind of ran out of time in the week that was, but producer Lucas will post it on social media, on Twitter. Thanks, Lucas, for producing that, producing the show this week. Patrick Alog took your calls. See you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. God bless.